Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hey, everybody. This is a bonus edition of the Macko and Cause podcast. We're going to try to do this from time to time. If there's a top five we don't get to, or listener questions, or there's just some, I don't want to call it runoff, because, you know, runoff sounds bad. In fact, this is really bad marketing.
But if it was a waffle iron and there was additional waffle batter.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Yeah, exactly.
Or extra cookie dough.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know what I like to think of it as? Hmm. You know what this is, Bob?
Hmm.
This is the leftovers edition. Everyone loves leftovers the next day. This is the leftovers edition of the Macko and Cause podcast.
Cold pizza.
Yeah.
I almost worked for Cold Pizza.
That's true.
Canadians won't probably remember this, but there was a show on ESPN well before First Take, and it was called Cold Pizza.
Yep.
And it was their ESPN's big dive into trying to do a morning show.
Yeah.
And they wanted to hire me to be one of the key producers on it, one of the senior producers.
Yeah.
I kept saying no. I kept saying no because I didn't really want to leave Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of liked Toronto and I liked my job and I liked where things were going here. But man, that show wound up sucking. And I never forget this. Like, Landsberg was buddies with Branford Marsalis.
Yep.
And he knew how jealous I was of their friendship.
Yeah, that's so, right.
Because Landsberg didn't know jack squat about music.
Yeah.
And Branford was like one of my heroes growing up.
And Branford was a sports guy and liked Landsberg.
Loved Landsberg.
Oh, loved Landsberg.
Would send him notes all the time. And anytime he was around, I was always trying to like impress him with stuff. And he'd be like, uh-huh, yeah.
And right. Michael's relationship with jazz was Homer's. Saxophone.
But they would start talking about Duke McAllister and like Branford's eyes would light up.
Yeah.
And Landsberg would dazzle him with his knowledge of 1970s running backs.
Mm-hmm. Deuce McAllister was, you know, he's a late 90s.
No, I know, but I'm just remembering different conversations. Yeah. Yes, I know. Anyway, it was all New Orleans Saints related
because
he's a New Orleans guy.
That's right.
So anyway, after Cold Pizza got canceled, I got a random email from Branford Marsalis said, good thing you didn't join that crappy show.
Oh, that's like Thea Andrews, I think, was
one of
the hosts.
Right. She was the one who tried to bring me down. I'm always going to be grateful for that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, she got the job, and then she said, you know, there's this kid up north that might work down here.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. But I when I think of that show now, I think about how Landsberg basically fixed me up with Branford Marsalis.
Yeah.
So we're going to do listener questions, plus I have some leftover NBA general questions I wanted to get to.
And I have one other issue I forgot to get to as well.
Oh, okay. So this is the leftover. When are we going to put this out? Are we going to put this out on Tuesday?
No. I'll save this for like a little later in the week.
Well, the longer you leave it, though, like leftovers, you can't leave leftovers too long.
Wednesday. How about Wednesday?
Wednesday is the last day for two nights is too long.
Yeah.
More than two nights for leftovers.
Yeah.
And it's garbage.
Yeah. So 2 days.
Right?
Yeah.
There's only a couple exceptions. Chili, you can keep a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
Soups, you can keep a little longer.
Yep.
One pot stuff, you can keep a little longer.
Yeah. Okay, I can go with that. Yeah, no. This will be out like early Wednesday morning.
Okay, Wednesday
morning. So
less than
48 hours.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Hello. Wow. Hump day. Am I right or am I right? Don't like, worry, everyone.
The worst nickname ever, hump day.
We're just 2 days left to the weekend. Coming up later, we got news and traffic. But first up, yeah, it's Miley Cyrus's new... Anyway.
I got a case of the Wednesdays. You know, actually, statistically... Yeah. Within Ford plants across North America, I read a report once that said that the most productive time for people who worked on the line in Ford plants was Wednesday between 9 and 12.
Really?
Yes. That for whatever reason, the efficiency and quality of work done during that time was higher than at any other specific time of the week.
Man, we're just such slaves to the weekend.
We really are.
Oh,
I think it's just far enough away from the weekend that it's just like Wednesday morning, you're just dedicated.
Yeah.
All right, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here. What do you need me
Let's
to do?
Let's do it. Monday and Tuesday, you're bitching about it. Thursday and Friday.
You're already forgetting about it.
You're already forgetting. So right. Wednesday.
If you need anything done,
yeah,
get it done on a Wednesday.
Yeah, that's good to know.
Here's
the first thing I want to bring up. I plugged my phone and I turned it off for when we did our original podcast. And I turn it on. My battery is only at 49%. And I am so disappointed by that. Have we hit a point now because we use phones so much for so many things, and I'm convinced every company makes crappy batteries on purpose. How much of your day is spent with you thinking about charging my phone? How much is it? Oh, no, it's under 50%. Where's my charger? Do you have a charger? Can I charge my phone? Like all of that world.
I don't know how much, although I think it was just kind of a random question.
Yeah.
You weren't looking for a specific number, like 14% of your day is spent thinking.
Wrong. 15.2.
All right. So here's my question, though.
Yeah.
At what point do you start to become nervous because your battery is low? What percentage do you have to see before it's an actionable item?
Well, this is going to be so predictable. I'm going to actually guess. I'm going to guess your number.
Okay, can I guess yours and okay. Can you guess mine?
Okay.
Okay, you go first.
Okay, I think you're comfortable, you know, until it dips below 26%, you're not sweating it.
20%.
Oh, my God.
You were pretty close. If it gets to 20%, I got to plug it in. Oh. When I walked in, I plugged in the phone, right?
Yeah.
To your place?
Yeah.
16%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. 20%.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Now you, I'm going to say 50.
60.
60. I was thinking 60,
yeah.
But then I know you don't love your phone.
Yeah.
So you love efficiency and you never want to be without it.
Yeah.
So that would drive you in one direction.
Yeah.
But you're not glued to your phone.
No, I'm not a slave to my phone, but it goes to our personality where me, it's always like, you know, just everything's organized and I get happy when it's at 100%. Like it's sad, but I get happy.
Fully charged.
And even if I'm not going anywhere, I'm just at home. I'm like, yes, it's at 100. It's an anal retentive thing. The same way, by the way, I cleaned a pot as our first podcast was downloading. I'm like, oh, I still have 48 seconds. I can clean two dishes. That's the same.
Your efficiency is magnificent.
Yeah.
I absolutely love and I'm a little afraid of it. How many times does your phone actually run out of juice? Actually run out?
Never.
Ask me the same question.
How many times, Bob?
All the time.
All
the time.
Not a shock.
All the time.
Yeah.
At least, I'm going to say 3 or 4 times a week.
Oh,
apparently it's bad for the battery to have to ramp it back up again.
Mm.
But everything's bad for your battery.
Nothing's good
for it. It's cold. No, you know why? Because they want you to get new phones.
Yeah.
My phone's starting to fall apart.
Mm.
My phone is like a jalopy.
Yeah.
The screen is cracked. It's constantly, it's just, yeah. And I refuse to have an emotional relationship with a phone.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a device.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a thing.
Don't let the commercials fool you. Yeah. So
the information is different than the actual case that the information is contained within.
I feel we spend way too much time thinking about our battery on our phone. I know.
So true. Yeah. And I work with a lot of people who are under 30.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this right now.
Mm.
There is not a device under the sun that can charge a battery that they don't own.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like they could be, you know, portable chargers, like all kinds. I look at this and I think, wow, it's amazing. But what's it for? And it's basically so it's never below 90%.
Yeah. Oh, that would be fantastic.
You would love that.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. But if you're under 30, you live by free Wi-Fi and you always have a charger with you.
It's true.
Yeah.
All right. So that's a great question. And we've already discovered a shocking revelation that you are more on top of details than I am.
Twist. So we have some listener questions and we got your basketball questions.
All right. Well, let's do a bunch of listener questions, then basketball ones, then listener questions. Because I have a feeling there are no sports listener questions.
Oh.
One or two?
No.
None.
Okay, this is from Kenshi G. Who was hotter in their prime, Britney Spears or Jennifer Lopez?
Debate now, do you mean in terms of who had the bigger career?
Well, it just says who is hotter. Who was hotter in their prime? If we can go both aesthetic and actual.
Well, the Britney Spears aesthetic was always disturbing
mm-hmm.
because she was dressed up as a schoolgirl.
Mm-hmm.
And that's. You know, my father once said to me, he lived in America for 6 years, and he goes, this culture is obsessed with either Britney Spears or J-Lo's butt.
Yeah.
Like you said, there is no middle ground. Like,
yeah.
And I thought that's a really interesting observation about American culture, right?
Yep.
Fetishizing youth or fetishizing, you know, I guess what you would call, I don't even know what you would call it, but like the way hip hop gets fetishized and becomes super cool. I think that there's no. I always thought Britney Spears was underrated.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking as a performer.
Yeah,
like she was good at it.
Yeah, she was.
You know, she was
for pop music. She was really, really good at it, and she had a long. You know, she had a long career. Then she had a couple years of madness, which is not a shock considering the world that she was living in. And she brought back the female pop singer. Like she was there before Christina Aguilera.
Or sort of with, but was bigger first.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Christina Aguilera came in just afterwards. Mm-hmm. But they were all Mouseketeers.
Yeah.
Justin Timberlake, even Ryan Gosling was a Mouseketeer.
Yeah.
So weird, so creepy. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any question that J-Lo has the more lasting presence. J-Lo's actually a good actress.
Yep.
She's a good actress. You ever see the movie Out of Sight with her and George Clooney? The Steven Soderbergh movie?
So many times I've seen that movie. That movie's fantastic.
Like it's not just a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
That's a great movie.
Yeah.
And she's really good in it. Uh-huh. Have you seen Anaconda?
I have seen Anaconda.
Thank you. How good is that?
Many times.
AMC, if you're listening, we could use a little more Anaconda.
Yeah. There are a thousand ways to die in the jungle.
John Voight.
John Voight.
He's so over the top bad.
Yeah.
He's like Dennis Hopper in Apocalypse Now.
Oh, yeah.
Where you get so creepy and so weird. It's right. Kind of fascinating.
Question for you.
Okay.
What percentage of this Anaconda script do you think that he memorized? Or do you think he just walked on, says it? All right. What's the general idea of the scene? Okay. Here's my voice. All right. Let's do this.
I'm going to say he had the gist of 80% of it.
Oh.
And reproduced none of it.
Yeah. And by gist is with a lowercase g.
Right. So is the idea here that the snake's going to kill us and I'm a good guy and a bad guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just roll. I'll come up with something.
Yeah.
By the way, my favorite creepy, stupid touch in that whole movie is, do you remember what he keeps calling J-Lo, his little nickname for her?
No.
Or his pet name? Baby Bird. Oh, little baby bird.
I don't remember
so
that
I want to wash myself just saying it. So creepy. Do you remember how he dies?
Yeah, gets
eaten by an anaconda.
Yeah, gets eaten by an anaconda.
Didn't see that coming.
I kind of did. Actually, how did he die? Aneurysm. It was 2 months after the movie. Yeah. Real shame. It's a real shame there.
They got back to civilization.
Everything was fine. He was starting up this PR firm and then...
He mostly died. Consulting at first, but he had some clients.
You know, I went to his hotel. He was in Rochester. He was looking for new business, and he
was in Rochester.
He collapsed at the he was at the La Quinta. You know, wanted to keep his roots real.
The best part of that whole joke is the Rochester reference, like random, meaningless.
Real quick on the answer,
Roanoke,
here,
Virginia.
Britney Spears, very obviously very attractive, and I can even push away the whole schoolgirl, you know, Lolita thing. But there's lots of skinny blondes.
Mm-hmm.
J-Lo, just I think her facial features and everything were a little bit more striking. So I would go J-Lo there in terms of who is.
And she can dance.
Yeah.
Forgot to mention that.
Yeah. Who is hotter in their prime? I think at their peak, I think Britney was more popular than Jennifer Lopez.
I think Britney was more popular, but J-Lo was popular longer.
Agreed.
And actually managed to sort of, like, they've both morphed into second phases of their career.
Yeah.
Britney's got Vegas.
Yeah.
And J-Lo is kind of a mogul in a way. She's got TV shows that she runs the production company of. Like, she's a very, very successful individual.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of J-Lo's, though.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love the music necessarily. Oh, I thought Jenny on the Block was fine, but it was such a ripoff of the Beat Nuts Don't Look Now, or Watch Out Now, I should say, that, you know, for hip-hop heads,
yeah,
that just drove us nuts. I won't call myself a hip-hop head. I was an enthusiast. But regardless.
Yeah.
I think the answer to the question is J-Lo. Mm-hmm. I kind of don't want to do a ranking of looks because it feels like...
Yeah, I know. There's a sort of creepiness to it.
There's a creepiness to that?
Yeah.
So in terms of their careers, J-Lo over Britney.
Yeah. I don't even do his ranking. It's my visual aesthetic, what I enjoy more, you know?
Right.
I feel I can do it without it being...
They're both attractive.
Yeah, both very attractive people. Good for them for being able to maintain, you know, that level of shape. It requires a high level of discipline, a lack of carbs, and, you know, spending many hours at the gym.
Tell me about it. I am cleansing.
You are.
I'm almost done.
All right. Do you want to do one of your basketball questions?
Sure.
Do you want to bounce back and forth?
Yeah, let's bounce back and forth. Okay. Ooh. So I do something called CBT, Cognitive Behavioral Therapy. Mm-hmm. It's basically there to help with anxiety.
Yeah.
And it helps with a lot of different things, but I take it for anxiety. I learned about something called attentional bias, that this is the way the brain works, that if you perceive something to be a threat, that instinctively your brain will pay more attention to it than other things in the room.
Right.
It sounds obvious.
Yeah.
But it manifests itself on, you know, subconscious levels in many, many ways. Because sometimes you don't realize you perceive something as a threat.
Mm-hmm.
So when people say, I don't know why I can't stop paying attention to this or that or the other thing, sometimes it's attentional bias. So here's my question with that in mind. Who are you paying more attention to right now, the Celtics or the Bucks?
I am paying more attention. The Bucks, not just because they beat the Raptors, but like Giannis's dunks are all over the place. And your eye goes there. I think the Celtics are the more dangerous team, but right now the Milwaukee Bucks.
I would also say the Bucks fear the deer, mostly because they have the best player in the Eastern Conference. Giannis is on the verge of incredible.
Yep.
That he's been amazing mm-hmm. and thrilling to watch, yep. but now he's starting to make the jump to incredible. Yep. Like you have the feeling, and you would see this with LeBron at various stages in his career, where he will just decide to be the best player in the world mm-hmm. for stretches of time.
Yeah.
And he has that ability. But now they're well coached. Budenholzer is a good coach. And they don't seem to be a messed up team. Like, I guess Jabari Parker had his problems and you got to cut bait where you can.
Yeah.
But they just seem to take a lot of threes and play smart, modern basketball. Plus, arguably the best player in the world. He could be the MVP. Who knows?
Yep. Like, by the end of the year,
he could be that guy.
Yes.
The Celtics, I did a little researchery. Mm-hmm. Now, this is going back to Monday because this is the Leftovers edition. So I'm talking like it's Monday, even though it'll be heard on Wednesday.
Yeah.
The Celts play killer D.
Yes.
They're number one in terms of points allowed. They're number one by a country mile in terms of three-point defense. Mm-hmm. You know, in the playoffs, how important that can be.
Yep.
But as of today, right now.
Monday, November 5th.
You and I love point differential.
Yes, we do.
The Raptors are fifth.
Yeah.
In terms of point differential. The Celtics are ninth. The Bucks. Number one in the league
after the Raptors win over the Lakers,
even over Golden State, and with as crazy as Steph Curry has been,
wow,
no team has a better point differential than the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, that's impressive.
It surprised me when I looked it up, but you and I always talk about point differential, and so I thought, let's just see where that's at.
Yeah. No, 100%. By the way, though, if he does get fully healthy, Kawhi could be the best player in the East this year.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
It could happen.
I honestly don't know because he's amazing to watch and he doesn't seem like he's at full strength yet. Mm-hmm. It's hard to imagine how much better he could be. He seems to be able to put up 30 at will and play killer defense.
Yep.
But he's not a freak.
Nope.
And Giannis has freak potential.
Yep.
Like Giannis feels like a guy who could put up 40 and 20. Like if Boogie Cousins was obsessed with winning.
Yeah.
And just lived his life the way Kobe Bryant did mm-hmm. with his physical skill set.
Yeah.
You feel like he could be Wilt Chamberlain part two.
Yep.
If Giannis can adopt like that killer mentality and it seems like he has it, we'll see. Okay. Yeah. Listener question.
Tristan Fitzpatrick, who does the updates for TSN 1050.
I've never met him.
Good guy.
But he does a good job.
Yep. What single thing do Bob and Matt disagree on the most?
Oh, that's a great question.
See, I don't think it's a specific. I think it's a lot of times just our approach where I'm a little bit more fun-loving. Let's enjoy the moment. Let's squeeze the positive. And you're more restrained in that. And I don't want to... suspicious of success.
I would say you and I are very different in terms of living in the moment.
Yeah.
You do. I don't. Uh-huh. You're swirling wine in your glass right now. I'm drinking water from the same glass I'm doing my cleanse out of.
Yeah.
One of the many illustrations over the course of a pod, how we're different.
It's a German Moselle. It's 7.5% alcohol.
You probably don't remember this, but the only real scrap that you and I ever got into verbally, this is over 20 years of friendship, I was an agitator back in the day, and I think I was grinding you.
Yeah.
Was whether or not it's wrong to ask someone to take off their shoes.
I remember that.
When you come to a party
at
your house.
I remember in the middle of that argument, I'm like, why are we, why
you
is this?
You wanted to punch me, though.
Yeah, why are we fighting like
you
this?
You really did want to punch me.
Well, I don't think I actually would have.
I don't think you would have, but I could see, because you're a very peace-loving guy.
That's right.
But I could see in your eyes, you're like, I'm getting close to punching this guy.
Oh. Yeah, that would be like the only real fight.
Yep. And I would, I was cool with it. I think it's fine.
Yeah.
You didn't like it. You thought, and this is my experience. Like, how many Christmas parties have I gone to over the years where everyone takes their shoes off at the door. Yeah. And at the end of the night, there's 30 or 40 pairs of shoes.
Oh, it's a pain in the ass.
It's such a pain in the ass.
It's a pain in the ass.
It's like, if you're going to have people over, your place is a mess anyway. Yeah. Just be prepared to clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
But you were against that.
Yep.
And man, we had a knockdown, drag them out.
Yep.
Like 30 minute yelling match.
Clearly, it wasn't right before the guest arrival.
Well, not a lot of work was getting done.
Yeah.
And we also disagreed about how naturally funny women are. But I don't think that you think that anymore.
Oh, no. I have the exact same opinion. It's not about natural. It's about nature. And it was about the...
Please explain.
Yeah. It was about the idea from my growing up that men, or not even men, boys, would try to use sense of humor to woo women, especially boys who perceive themselves as being aesthetically not so great. And unfortunately, men were, no, still with boys, boys at that age didn't view sense of humor in a woman as prized as highly as women did unto men. Of course, the funny thing was, even my later teenage years, I realized the girls I ended up with were the girls that made me laugh.
Right.
So because of that, I believe that more men than women at a young age start trying to be funny, start the reps at age 12, 13, or 14, and thus there are more funny men than women. Now, the idea of potential, doesn't matter how much estrogen or testosterone you have, that has no factor in it at all.
Yeah, I think your point was not that women can't be as funny as men, but that men are pushed more towards being funny than women are.
At a very young age.
And I've always thought that there's just as many funny men and women, not professionally, because women aren't given the same opportunities to be professional on stage, funny on stage. I think that's changing over time, but certainly throughout most of our time loving comedy.
Well, here's a perfect example. I just finished a book that I'm going to do for my book club called Only the Funny Parts. This writer, Nell, I can't remember her last name. I finished the book like a day ago, and she wrote from The Simpsons, and she wrote on Letterman, and she wrote for Obama, and great career. It's a fantastic book, and laughing my ass off throughout this book. And she talks about how, you know, back in the day, Letterman, Leno, Conan O'Brien, all these shows would have almost no female writers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'd go like...
It's ironic, too, because David Letterman's comedy was based like so much out of his early work with Meryl Marco, mm-hmm. who was a female comic and his girlfriend. And one of the architects of what would become the Letterman style.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a fantastic book. And she talks a lot about that, about the underrepresentation of women in TV. And the one thing that's true is that you can roll your eyes at when people say we need more diversity or say, oh, it's just you being politically correct or you virtual signaling or you're showing everyone how wonderful you are. Put all that to the side. Diversity in any room is going to make the room funnier because you're going to draw from so many more experiences. And this is just going by a basic fact. It's not going towards any agenda. Of course, everyone should have the agenda that everyone should have the equal chance for any job.
Right. Fair enough. I always just wonder whether or not women have always been just as funny the whole time, but maybe they just don't do it in front of guys as much because when women are in rooms full of guys, mm-hmm. they're not encouraged to be funny or rewarded for being funny in the same way.
Yep.
So that maybe there are all kinds, and we're talking as two dudes here, you know, maybe there are all kinds of room in which these conversations are happening. We just don't happen to be in those rooms. Yep. I've always thought that that was probably the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could be the case.
You know.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a more philosophical debate that you and I had back in the day.
Yeah.
But it wasn't really a disagreement because I don't feel like we were sort of rooting against like the shoes thing. We were on two different sides.
Yeah.
The other thing, we were sort of on the same side, but maybe looking at it from different angles.
Yeah.
From the lens of your own experience.
Yeah, and just going with back, especially when I was growing up, it was. You had a better chance of wooing a woman if you had a sense of humor. And it was especially, that was born out of insecurity about your own physical aesthetic.
Yeah. I was looking at a commercial with Tony Romo in it the other day. Mm. He's going through like an airport security gate.
Yeah.
And the woman behind the thing says, oh, are you Tony Romo? And he says, I am. And I just thought, man, I want to be able to have somebody go, are you Bob Mackowitz? And I would answer, I am.
Mm-hmm. It could happen.
Not yes.
Yeah.
I am.
I am.
Yes, continue. Oh, brother. Okay, so basketball question then?
Yep.
Or do you want to do another listener question?
No, bounce back and forth.
Who gets dealt first, John Wall or Jimmy Butler?
Let me first say,
this is one of those could be dated because either one of them could be traded by the time the leftovers get served.
I hope Jimmy Butler doesn't get traded.
You hope he doesn't?
No, I hope he doesn't. I'm all for player empowerment. I'm all for, players have been treated poorly in the past. But he's got a contract. Yeah. He signed it. And he's just being the worst teammate.
And he's angry everywhere. So it's not like this is the one time where he's shown displeasure with his organization.
Yeah.
He's always unhappy with his organization.
And he sounds so disingenuous. I just want to win, but I want to end up in New York. If you want to win, there are talented guys on your team. Bust your ass. And you do. Like, the thing is, you know, he's fully into it. He's a bust your ass, awesome player. He couldn't seem more like an asshole here. Like, it just, he's the ultimate example when we go just spoiled athlete. And I get there's a generalization there, and he's worked his ass off to get where he is, but I want him not to get traded just because of his attitude.
So let's unpack this, because there's a few levels here.
Yeah.
In order to trade Jimmy Butler,
yep,
Tom Thibodeau, because he's at the heart of all of the potential deals, uh-huh, has to say, okay,
yeah,
I'm not going to try to win this year. In the same way I would be trying to win if I had Jimmy Butler.
Yes.
We've heard all kinds of rumors that of multiple first-round picks from Houston to get him down there because clearly Daryl Morey feels the heat. And even though his team's starting to play better, not the start everyone was looking for.
No.
So how, you know, Thibodeau knows, though, if he doesn't do well, he's out.
Yep.
Right? Because a lot of this stuff is all on his watch. He brought Butler in. If I'm the ownership, I'm looking at this and saying, man, you're not worth the effort.
Yeah.
You know, unless we're really good, you are just so not worth the effort. So I don't know if he's going to make that deal. I feel like John Wall gets dealt first. And
they're a mess. There's been chemistry issues there for years.
For years. They hate each other. They brought in Dwight Howard to try and fix things.
Yeah.
Think how messed up that is.
Beal and Wall aren't exactly, they're not exactly DeMar and Lowry.
The problem with John Wall is, like, he's overrated. I think people see that. It's not that he's not a good player.
Yeah.
He's a really good player.
Yeah.
But he's not, like, max contract, all the money you can throw at him in the universe good. And he's already proven that he's not necessarily the best teammate.
Yep.
So if I'm a team, like, what am I going to give up to bring that guy in? There's some teams that might do it. Maybe Miami would do it.
Yeah, Miami, they're always, Pat Riley's not about the draft. He's always about big trophy.
Right. And you got to figure, like, maybe they have enough confidence in their system and their organization that
they can transform guys.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And they do. Like, the Heat culture, and you hear about it all the time, is a real thing. It's not just cliched mainstream media jargon.
And they got a piece like a Goran Dragic that they could give up, you know? Yeah. So, like, you know, and Dragic is a good NBA player.
Yeah, he is.
You know, I guess I see John Wall going because if I'm Ted Leonsis and I'm the ownership of Washington, they've started this bad. It's like, this is not fixable.
Yeah.
It is not fixable. And I would rather build for the future with Bradley Beal than I would with John Wall.
I would agree. I think Wall will get traded first because I think Minnesota is just so toxic. It is so toxic.
I always feel like we should be
just
afraid
of... Just like Britney Spears, Toxic.
That's her best song.
Callback.
Nice. It's a great song. Love that song.
Yeah.
Played it on the Strombo show one night. Mm-hmm. He was so disappointed in me.
Really?
I apologize for nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a great pop song.
Yeah.
And I say it now and I stick to it.
Yeah,
100%. I always feel like as Raptors fans, we should be more afraid of the Wizards than we are. Because when you look at the roster on paper, you go, oh, wow, you got two excellent players. And Otto Porter Jr. is actually pretty good. And, you know...
No fear.
No fear whatsoever.
No. Oh, no.
They will always defeat themselves.
Yeah. 100%. I think they'd win a bunch of the games even without Kawhi.
And to the flip side, though, I want Butler out of Minnesota simply because if Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins aren't the right guys, and you know, maybe they are, maybe they aren't, maybe they don't have the right stuff, but they're two first overall picks. One of them's from Toronto. I'd like to see them do well. And I'm pretty sure they're never going to do well while Jimmy Butler is there hating them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I know that advanced analytics people, they sometimes scoff at the idea of chemistry in a locker room, but they're still human beings who go to work every day. And if you don't like the guy next to you, especially like supposedly the best player, It's got to at some point have a negative impact on your game.
I think that when we talk about the eyeball test, we can be surprised because what seems to be happening on the ice or on the court isn't actually what's happening. So it is good to have analytics to help correct the mistakes that the eye and its expectations has.
Of course.
That said, this is not to say numbers have replaced the way human beings act and feel.
Yeah.
Because we all know. Like, look at Serge Ibaka. The other day, he put up, you know, what was 34 points against the Lakers?
Oh, yeah, on Monday. I remember that.
Yeah, so long ago.
Yeah.
Oh. But afterwards, he was talking about Kawhi was out, and I wanted to come out and dominate. And I think that he feels really good about his game right now. Mm-hmm. And he was looking at this and saying, you know what? I'm a great player.
Yeah.
And I'm going to play like a great player.
Stuart Smalley, look in the mirror.
Yeah.
Good enough? I'm mobile enough and God dominant.
I'm worth it.
Yeah.
You know, so my point is, like, the mindset going in, like, does it make Ibaka a great player or a bad player? No. But sort of the way you decide to conduct yourself does shape how you perform.
Yeah.
Conversely, OG Anunoby is having a tough start to the year, and he's been missing some time for personal issues, and I don't know what that means, and you don't know what that means, and it's none of our business, quite frankly. But you could see, like, Nikita Zaitsev had a tough year last year, you know, and new fatherhood sometimes messes players up. Like, there's all kinds of reasons why players don't play up to their expectation. Sometimes it's because the most powerful voice in the room is a jerk.
Yeah.
And you hate him.
Yeah. You know, and leadership counts. And
right? Jimmy Butler's not good enough to be that much of an ass.
No, he's not.
He is damn good.
Yeah. Only LeBron could get away with
only LeBron.
LeBron
and Kobe.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, with Kobe, then that split him and Shaq up.
Okay, so that's going to raise another NBA question that I'll get to later. You got a listener question here?
Chelsea Darlington writes in, an individual one for both of us. Matt, I found something amazing at a thrift shop this weekend. What's the best thing you ever found at a garage sale or thrift shop?
Good question.
For me, that was, because I had a little time to think about it, I was trying to find the Catcher in the Rye, but like the red cover. Like the red cover catcher.
Yeah, the old one. It's kind of a rusty brown.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With the yellow lettering.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That one. And it took me forever because I wanted to get it as a gift for my girlfriend at the time. And I finally found it at like a United Way store. And I'd given up trying to find it. And then I went in. It was this United Way that used to be around like Islington and Bloor area. And there it was.
Ask me the same question.
All right. Best thing you found at a garage sale or thrift shop?
Jaws tie. It was a green... some unnatural, you know, fabric tie, like green, like forest green.
Yeah.
And then on it wasn't a picture of the shark.
Yeah.
It was a rubber decal that had been ironed on to the tie of the shark, like from the poster coming up with Chrissy the swimmer on the top of the surface.
Right? Yeah.
It didn't actually say Jaws on it, but I would wear that to meetings just to see how people would react.
Yeah.
My Jaws iron on tie. That was hands down, and I paid a dollar for it.
Yeah.
A dollar, Matt. I think it might have been from the Hadassah Bazaar back in the day. Oh, and also a copy of Franz Masureel's Passionate Journey, which was a story told in woodcuts that I got for $1 at the Hadassah Bazaar.
There you go.
And changed my life.
A couple thoughts. Life-changing one, book. You remember the name of the swimmer, Chrissy. That's impressive.
Well, we've talked about this. You know, I've seen Jaws probably 75 to 100 times.
Yeah. And second, because of that tie and all those meetings, that's why you're not running TSN. Your question from Chelsea.
Quick sidebar story here.
Yeah.
So Keith Pelley,
yep.
who ran TSN, then went around, you know.
Sportsnet. And
ran everything.
Now, is he still with
the European PGA Tour.
PGA.
Ridiculous. What a life. Just going from like European country to one after the other.
Yeah.
You know, getting private lessons from Rory McIlroy. Oh,
so good.
Yeah, he wins. But anyway,
yeah,
I went in to see him once. He was the president of TSN, and I was wearing a black T-shirt that just happened to have a rip just over the nipple.
No good.
Yeah, so he didn't bring it up because they were sort of used to that thing for me.
Yeah.
And then halfway through the meeting, he just leans over, picks up the phone, calls his assistant. Yeah, hi, Susan. Yeah, do me a favor. Pass a hat around the place and see if we can buy Bob a new shirt. Okay, great. Thanks. And then picks up the conversation where he left off.
I just didn't miss a beat.
Didn't miss a beat.
Oh, that's good.
I had a meeting with the president and a ripped black T-shirt.
Yeah, that's a good burn. Chelsea wants to know, any new heavier sounding bands I should be giving a listen to?
Oh, well, I guess it depends on how heavy. My favorite heavy metal band right now, they haven't put out anything since 2016, but it's a band called Gojira. they're from France, and they are, they're formally sort of like doomy, deathy metal, kind of sludge metal. It's heavy.
Yeah.
I saw them twice over the course of a weekend. I saw them once in Anaheim and then once opening for Metallica in San Diego. Got to hang out with them backstage for a while. Lovely guys. Two brothers, vegans, mm-hmm. terrific guys. Excellent heavy metal.
Yeah.
Excellent. I highly recommend the record Magma. The other one is a band, they kind of sound like Pantera, and a band called Power Trip. It's not super new. It's out from last year, I think, but they actually played Strombo's place, and they started the show with one of my favorite ways to start a show at Strombo's. There was about 100 people, and everybody was revved and ready to go, and it's five guys from Texas up there to play some serious blistering metal, and the lead singer picks up the microphone. He goes, "Thanks to George, I wouldn't want this to be my place for the next 15 minutes." And then they proceeded to rip it up. There was a mosh pit. There were people surfing. I actually got into the crowd to protect certain people just because there was so much bouncing around. There's equipment, furniture.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Power Trip and Gojira would be my two recommendations.
Nice.
I don't know if that's useful to you, Chelsea, or not. But there if not, just DM me and I'll send you some more stuff.
There you go. All right.
Well, all right.
I think, that's anything else before we end the leftovers edition of the Macko and
Well, yeah. I got a Kobe question.
Oh, Kobe, do it.
Now, as you know, I'm a bandwagon guy with the Lakers.
Yep.
Because LeBron's there. And also because I'm spending more time in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So
doing projects you can't talk about.
Can't discuss
it. Woo!
Can you be pro Laker and hate Kobe?
That's hard because it's one of the nuttiest sections of fandom in North America is the Kobe truthers.
Right.
And
I find myself in this position.
Yeah.
Because for years I hated the Lakers, but I hated Kobe.
Yeah.
I was there at the Philadelphia All-Star game when he got booed in his hometown, and I was booing too.
Yep.
I heard that he might have cried.
Yeah, heard that as well.
Yeah, I heard that. So it was obviously very painful, and I should feel worse than I do about being part of it.
Yeah.
But you
got over it. You managed to get over it.
I pulled through my personal shame. Can I follow the Lakers? Can I be pro Lakers but still hate Kobe?
Yeah, of course, because LeBron's there. Because LeBron, you know, he casts a shadow. That's, you know, like LeBron can protect you from that.
But does LeBron's shadow, like, does that cover? Because Kobe is, for a certain generation, like after Magic, he is the Laker.
Yeah.
He is one of those guys, and there's only a few organizations where you can say this. The Yankees are like this. The Habs are like this. The Lakers. The all-time guys.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the Celtics are kind of like this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, I think they are.
Yeah.
Celtics have so many, though.
Yeah.
But, so, I don't know.
I think he can because it's free. If LeBron wasn't there, then it'd be weird. You know, if it would say Jim, replace Paul George with LeBron James.
Right.
That wouldn't be enough.
But LeBron is so big.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's a greater player than Kobe was. And maybe that helps. And it takes a long time before you can find someone with a greater career than Kobe's.
By the way, if you want to have don't put this on Twitter, because if the Laker fans see it, they get angry. You can make an argument. You can look up the numbers, especially if you include efficiency. Dwayne Wade was a better player than Kobe.
Yeah, I've heard that argument too. And I can I
never thought about it, but then I'm like,
you forget how great he was.
Yeah.
And think about like that 2006 team. Even though Shaq was on it, that was the coming out party.
That was Dwayne Wade going the free throw line 20 times against the Mavs. Oh, yeah. If you just look at efficiency, like the number of times where Dwayne was over 50% versus Kobe, and there's ways to do it. Anyway,
Dwayne Wade won me $200 in Vegas.
Oh.
Yeah, it was my honeymoon, and I was there, and I was at the book.
Yep.
And I dropped $50 on Marquette.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget who they beat, but I just said, this Wade kid is something special.
There you go.
Sure enough, they won and beat the spread. Papa had a little bit of extra Uncle Sam in his pocket.
There you go. Nice.
I don't even know if that's lingo.
I don't know if that's lingo. It sounds good. It sounds both good and douchey. I got a little Uncle Sam in my pocket. That is a little bit douchey.
Pretty bad.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad. I don't have any more questions. Do you have any more
questions? No, we're good. We're good.
Right. So this is just leftovers. Because a leftover meal should never be as big as the original meal, right?
Nope, it shouldn't be. So also this episode brought to you by our lawyer, Jeff Pollock. And you can reach Jeff at jeffpollock.com. That's Jeff with a G, 416-777-0088. That number, 416-777-0088. And Seat Giant, seatgiant.ca. Use the discount code Bob and Matt and use Seat Giant for all your sporting events, concert tickets, everything in Canadian dollars. There we go.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.